Good morning. It's May the 19th, 2024, the year of our Lord. And the title for my message is Overcoming the Babel. And I have two scripture passages. The first one comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 11, verses 1 through 9. And the second one comes from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. That is very familiar with Christians on the day of Pentecost. But first from Genesis. Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As people moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. And they said to each other, "Come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. And then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth." But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. And the Lord said, "If as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other." So the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. And my second reading comes from the book of Acts, or the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. "And when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, 'Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues.' Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, 'What does this mean?' Some, however, made fun of them and said, 'They've had too much wine.'" Overcoming the Babel. You know, as a child, at some point in your life, you ask your parents or teachers, "Why do other people speak in such funny and confusing languages?" You know, growing up in our country, I used to think, "Why can't everyone speak English?" Now, truth be told, because it was a high school requirement for a Regents diploma then in New York State, I took 2 years of German. You know, English is the business language of the world. And it's that fact primarily because of two countries, the United States of America and the United Kingdom. Between New York City and London, those cities are the center of the international commerce and banking in the world, London and New York City. Now just think how easier it would be if everyone spoke the same language so that there would be no misunderstandings. Well, according to Genesis 11, from what we read, that is exactly what happened until the Lord intervened. And because of human pride and arrogance, We didn't read his name, but there was a person that was leading this building of Babel, this city on the plain and a tower. His name was Nimrod. And Nimrod's name can be found outside of Scripture in ancient texts. You see, Nimrod was leading the people to build a city to be a gateway and a bridge to heaven. But God would not allow such presumption. And because of that fact, the speech of the workers was confused. Fighting ensued because of this confusion, and the people went their separate way, spreading across the face of the earth, and the tower was never completed. To this very day, nations, tribes, and cultures have problems communicating with each other. We have international treaties, and relations can often suffer because of the failure to communicate and interpret words and actions properly. Now, most of us know that speaking and understanding with folks of the same language is difficult enough. Words can have different meanings to different people. For example, justice might mean equal opportunity to succeed in life, having liberty, and enjoying the pursuit of happiness with no handouts, no welfare state. But others, however, when they hear the word justice, they do not think necessarily of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, but instead they have this notion, it's a socialistic notion, that everyone will have a guaranteed income and a home to live in, that health insurance will come from the government, that regardless of one's talents and desires and work ethic, merit has nothing to do with your success in life. Justice, the same word, but with an entirely different meaning that people give to it. So communication, confusion, and gaps exist all over our lives, and even in the church as well. We have gaps and differences between the young and the old, between low education and high education levels, between income, between the classes, between so-called liberals and progressives, and so-called conservatives and hardliners. And I would say that there are differences and gaps in understanding between what is proclaimed from the pulpit and what is heard from the people sitting in the pew. Sadly, these gaps and differences have prevented many Christians and churches from communicating effectively and sharing the gospel with success. Ironically, there was a day when the divisions of Babel were overcome and mended. And it happened during the Feast of Weeks, or what we call Pentecost. One of the three great holy celebrations of Jews who gathered in Jerusalem to celebrate the giving of the law of Moses 50 days after Passover on Mount Sinai. From the Acts of the Apostles of the book of Acts, 120 men and women listened to Jesus' command to stay in Jerusalem waiting for the promise to come. And in their waiting, they prayed earnestly, they read the scriptures, they celebrated communion, and they replaced Judas Iscariot with Matthias. And in that time of duration and waiting, we read where the Spirit of God came suddenly and mightily, changing forever those men and women, and giving birth to what we call the church. Now, these men and women, after being filled with the Holy Spirit, was causing such a commotion and disturbance by their actions and their words that they were drawing a scene. and people were scratching their heads proverbially, what is going on? Now, some cynics, some pessimists, thought that it was a drunken party of sorts. But others, however, listened very carefully to the conversation. And they miraculously heard them speak in their native language as they were pilgrims to Jerusalem. And they declared the wonder of God, asking each other, what does this mean? The ancient divisions from the Tower of Babel have been overcome by the Holy Spirit, with the result of the preaching of Peter and the apostles, that the Acts of Apostles proclaims that 3,000 people believed Peter's message as he preached to them. And what was Peter's message? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Makes you wonder, why don't we see more days like that again in the church? Why don't we have more preachers like Peter the Apostle, a fisherman who became a radical for Jesus? I mean, in this country, we have seen over the centuries magnificent preachers. Billy Sunday, Dwight L. Moody, Billy Graham, just to name three that come off the top of my head. You know, as a church and as a Christian and as a pastor, we say we believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit has the ability to energize and to effectuate and to empower Christians and the church, to change cold hearts to warm hearts, to soften stiff necks, to penetrate thick skulls, and to heal the divisions of Babel. But makes you wonder, what has gone wrong in the lives of Christians and the church in particular? Well, first, the church does not often wait for God's leading like it did in the Acts of the Apostles. As I mentioned a few minutes ago, Jesus told the 120 to wait in Jerusalem so that they would be baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. And they did that for 10 days, praying and waiting. Not 10 minutes, not 10 hours, but 10 days they waited for God's leading. And then, what would seem like to be in an instant, they were filled with the Spirit. Speaking of instantaneous, we live in a culture where people are accustomed to demanding instant food. That's why we go through drive-thrus. Instant banking, either on an app on your phone or through an ATM instead of going in and seeing the teller. And many young people that graduate from college are of the impression that they are going to be instantly successful in their careers. You see, for so many people today, whether they are in the church or outside of the church, praying and waiting is so passé, so foreign to far too many people, and that is the case, sadly, even in churches. Second, many churches and Christians have little or no desire to be together in one place, in one accord. You know, Sunday morning is the day for many modern, secular people to simply stay home and to chill out and relax. Maybe it's the day that you catch up doing your chores. Or maybe you just want to sleep in because you've been working all week and you'd rather go to Denny's for breakfast following a long, hard week in the office or whatever you do for a living. Maybe some people would say, you know, going to church or worship is just not my cup of tea. I'd rather go camping. Or I'd rather go to a Bills game or a professional sporting event. Let's be honest. Being together at worship is not considered as important for some as it once was, which is sad in our country. And I say that for many people who were involved and members of churches. Many people have checked out, sadly, from the local church. Third, there seems to be a competing message coming from many pulpits and churches that seem to care less about the wonders of God. And instead, what we hear from many pulpits is people are preaching a message on the latest social fad or the latest agenda, whether it's abortion on demand, social justice, climate change, or any of the new sexual perversions being touted by the so-called influencers that you find on TikTok or social media. Making matters more confusing and worse, in my opinion, especially for young people on the outside, is the simple fact that they do not know what or whom to believe. Whether it's coming from the pulpit Sunday morning or they're watching cable news, it is important to care for the environment, to be a good steward with God's creation. It is important to ask that justice and righteousness with truth be in our actions and policies, whether that is personal or political. It is important to respect and to honor the opposite sex with dignity and love, especially in the formation and development of children and young people's morals. It is important to value life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness, realizing, however, that actions have consequences with responsibility to follow. Babel is pervasive, and it must be overcome by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And not only in us as individuals, and maybe in a larger sense our families, but certainly in our churches that we worship in. The beauty, the power, and the poignancy of Pentecost is not only that tongues of fire came upon the 120, that they spoke in foreign languages, and that this manifestation was visibly present in the church and beyond. Maybe the greatest miracle of Pentecost is overcoming the division and the chaos of Babel, where people from all walks of life and languages can learn to declare the wonders of God. Pentecost can overcome Babel once more with its noise and its confusion and its division and pride. If we believe that, then why not in your life and mine? And why not here and now today? Amen.